Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
A good Friday afternoon to you and welcome into Grant and Danny. It is November 8th, 2024, and we are out and about. Our Friday field trip series has made its first stop in Maryland. This is a really cool spot.
What a spot this is.
Sports and Social in Bethesda. We will be here until 6:30. They normally don't open until 4. That changed today.
When you're huge deals like Grant and Danny,
yeah.
I mean, you roll in. The carpet wasn't blue. It wasn't green. It was red.
It was.
There's a whole stage area set up for us where we're like, they make us feel like we're pretty important. This place rules.
Our guy that helps run this joint's name is Larry Bird. I don't think he's a basketball player who was competing against Magic back in the day, but he may have been.
Did he go to Indiana State? Do we know?
Very possible.
Okay.
He is awesome, and he already fed us delicious food as well. So we're doing very well, and we're hoping to see you guys today. We're excited to be out in Maryland. Very, very rare, I will say, Danny, that we cross over the river into Maryland as a show. We are happy to be here. Saw some Terps fans out here already, so we're jacked up. Should be a lot of fun. Terry McLaurin jersey at the bar. Ready to go. The Commanders are trying to get to 8-2. They will have to do so without Marshawn Lattimore, which I do want to get into in just a few minutes. But should be an excellent show today. We've got a good one planned for you. Charles Davis, who's on the call with Ian Eagle on CBS for the 1 o'clock kick, is going to stop by at 3 o'clock. You will hear from him right here on The Fan. And Max Starks will help us to scout the opponent, the former Steeler turned radio personality. He's a part of their radio booth. He will be with us to give us all the intel we need on a much improved Pittsburgh offense over the last few weeks. Russell Wilson's got their passing game going. The Steelers are a sneaky 6-2 team that I think a lot of people thought were about to fall off this year. Not under Mike Tomlin's watch.
Yeah, he doesn't do that. So last year, they were winning games, and they were getting away with winning games. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was they would win these 15-13 weird fests where someone missed an extra point, and their defense was grinding you to a halt, and it was always just enough. Maybe a play on special teams, maybe a pick six, maybe a fumble return, something like that. All of a sudden, don't look now. Arthur Smith's offense with Russell Wilson at the helm, and really over the last month or so, they've been good on that side of the ball. Not great. No, I'm not talking about Washington's level. I'm not talking about elite, but they've moved the football and scored a little bit.
Washington's level?
Right.
Nobody's Washington
no,
level.
No, no. When you're number one, you don't have people at your level, please and thank you. You're all looking up at us.
Maybe the Rams' greatest show on turf back in 99-2000
when
Hall of Famer Kurt Warner was at the controls. That's the last time we've seen anything like what Washington is doing in terms of moving the ball and scoring points. But to your point, though, I was wrong. I think a lot of people were wrong about
I own that one.
Benching Justin Fields. And it's funny to say that because I am about as anti-Justin Fields as a starter as you can be. But I also don't think very highly of Russell Wilson. And by benching Fields, who was a playmaker with his feet, my thought was, well, now you're just going to a guy who doesn't do anything well. At least Fields, who doesn't throw the ball particularly well, can run it. Russell Wilson doesn't throw the ball well, and you know where he's going to be at all times because he can't run out of the pocket like Fields. But he has played at a higher level than he's played at any point the last couple of years.
Yeah, he's been good. Now, it's a smaller sample. We'll see what can be kind of taken away. And we had a guest on this week, and I'm blanking on who it was, but he kind of referenced this where there was a discussion. Russell Wilson, we viewed last year as a disaster. He was terrible, and he was benched. He wasn't that bad. I know that's not a ringing endorsement for somebody. I know that's not a way to say, you know, this is the decision you should make. But looking back on it, there was a lot left on the table, I'm sure. And I think there was probably frustration among the fan base. And they thought they were getting the guy that only a couple of years ago threw for four touchdowns, was an MVP candidate. And that guy didn't show up.
Yeah.
But he wasn't atrocious. It wasn't good. I'm not saying it was, but it wasn't atrocious. It now seems like you find a good fit here in Pittsburgh. They want to play smash mouth. They, you know, those moon balls over the top that he can now throw, letting guys like Pickens get some highly contested catches. It seems to be working. Again, it's early. Maybe somebody figures out the kryptonite. Maybe it's this week, I hope. But without Marshawn Lattimore, I don't know how confident I am.
Yeah, I think Sean Payton would disagree on how he played last year.
I don't think Payton loved him, no.
To me, I think his year last year with Denver, without going too deep into it, it reminds me a lot of the Carson Wentz Indianapolis year, where if you just look at the touchdowns and the interceptions, basically, you go, he didn't really play that bad. He had 27 touchdowns and 7 picks with the Colts. Washington's getting a guy that had a 4-to-1 touchdown interception ratio. Last year, Russell Wilson had 26 touchdowns and 8 picks. I think there's a lot more to quarterback play than the touchdown, the interception ratio, but it's not necessarily worth parsing that up. He's played very well for 2 weeks in Pittsburgh, and we'll see if they can continue the trend. I want to get into what I love so much about this matchup in just a few minutes, but I will say this is a heavy-duty D.C.-Pittsburgh couple of days here,
mm-hmm.
because I'm wearing a Caps hoodie today. I'm actually leaving here and trying to get to Capital One Arena by puck drop at 7:30. I don't know if anybody can help me with that and where I need to go and how I need to do that.
We'll figure it out.
But the Penguins are in town tonight. The Penguins, who with the Capitals have kind of been at the top of the Metro for years, who Washington seems to be much better and more efficient at retooling, rebuilding, and keeping things afloat at the end of the career of their superstar. For the Penguins, it's Crosby. For the Capitals, it's Ovechkin, who has been on a heater and scored in 5 straight games. But you got the Caps and the Penguins, the best rivalry in D.C. sports, tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the Commanders and the Steelers on Sunday. And I'm not one of these people that dislikes Pittsburgh as a city. I had family from there. My uncle was from Pittsburgh, went there and visited him many, many times. I think it's an awesome city. I actually really, really
it's
like.
It's criminally underrated, by the way.
It's such a fun hang. Like, Pittsburgh, it's beautiful with all the bridges. The ballpark, if you've never been to a Pirates game at PNC, is just pristine. There's a lot of things I like about Pittsburgh, but I hate the Penguins, and I do find Steelers fans overtaking your stadium, waving their towels, annoying. And so bring it on. D.C., Pittsburgh, today and Sunday. Let's do this thing.
Yeah, it's a Pittsburgh weekend. Reminds me of the playoffs years ago when the Nationals had the Pirates, like Bryce Harper was hitting leadoff that weekend, and then the Caps were playing the Penguins, as they always did and do in the second round of the postseason. But yeah, this is a nice little Pittsburgh double dip here this weekend. I would love to start it off by beating the Penguins, who I hate so much. I loathe them. It's not just the Penguins and how Penguinsy they are. It's that they always have this thing where it's like some dude that you never heard of comes up from the minors and like has like a huge goal against the Capitals, and everybody from NBC or the hockey establishment just drools. It's like, oh, Enzo, Sidney Crosby exhaled, Enzo. He took air into his lungs and then pushed it out again. Brilliant, brilliant by Crosby there. Just, he does hockey things. He's a great hockey player. One of the greats of all time.
He's very good.
First ballot Hall of Famer, blah, blah, blah. They pretend he's using his stick to hit the puck, Enzo. Like he invented dreams and fire and is like riding it on a magical beast. It is so irritating. That's like a fraction of the reason I hate them.
Yeah, you watch one of those games and what he gets attention and praised for, it's like they know going
he
into
passed
the game.
Pass the puck, Enzo.
They're like, before the first second intermission, we're going to do a Crosby package. So we're going to show his best moments. Well, if it wasn't a particularly great period or he didn't have any highlights, they got to show something. So mm-hmm. it's like, look at him here coming through the neutral zone. He skates right through the neutral zone, and no one steals the puck from him. It's like, you don't always have to put him over.
They do.
You could just let the game dictate the stories. It's not necessarily the way they want to do it. But, yeah, I hate the Penguins. I don't have any real hate for the Steelers because they are a little bit out of sight, out of mind. Another conference, I actually kind of root for Mike Tomlin. I find him to be one of the most likable and awesome coaches in the league. He's the kind of guy I would want to play for. He's a leader of men. But that having been said, if you can only get one of the two wins, it goes without saying.
Yeah, it's got to be Philly.
There's only – well, I don't mean that. I'm talking about the Penguins or the –
I'm sticking with our current topic. I jumped to conclusion, yeah. Matt. I apologize. That's on me.
Are you doing yesterday's show again real quick?
Yeah, just real fast.
If you could only beat
Mike Golic Jr.
or the Steelers, there's only 17 of these games. Obviously, it's got to be the football game. But, damn, it's just tough to lose to the Penguins at home. You walk out of that arena, and all those Yinzers in their sweaters are piling up on the steps across from Capital One. It is an awful vibe when you lose to the Penguins.
Yeah, it's terrible, and I've done that for decades, for most of my life, until that one time where Kuznetsov went 5-0, please and thank you, please leave sad and get dentures. But that experience is beyond frustrating. They're so obnoxious, I can't stand them. And losing to them in Washington, as has happened billions of times, I hate it. That poison has never gone away, even after getting them in the postseason. That was awesome. One of the great moments of my sports life, sports fan life. But still, all that pain, nothing's ever made up for that. I need like a Patriots-style run of multiple decades where we knock them out, and they think of us the way that we think of them, to start to creep back some of it.
Beautiful day to be talking sports in and around D.C. on 106.7 The Fan. Again, we are out and about. You can come hang with us. We'll be here until 6:30 today in Bethesda, although it's really Rockville.
From Bethesda!
I have been told it is Rockville. They call it North Bethesda. Mm-hmm. It says Bethesda on the side of the restaurant. It's sports and social. Come on by, but it is Rockville.
North Bethesda!
I've been told to say Rockville.
North of Bethesda.
Wherever you want it to be, we're at Sports and Social.
Yeah.
There are gigantic screens to watch sports. In fact, our guy Larry showed me. I mean, they've already got their menu set up for all of the games in every sport today that are airing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like anything you guys want to watch, we got it. Just throw it up on the TV. We're good to go.
I love that.
This is one of those bars where you don't have to tell them how to do their sports thing. You know?
This, by the way, is the thing. Yes.
I get so annoyed by sports bars when I go into a sports bar. I'm not going to Joan on a place that I go to a lot. By using its name.
Okay.
But I go there a lot.
Okay.
I shouldn't, but I do.
Okay.
And I go in and I'm like, hey, can I get the game on? And they're like, oh, sure, what channel is it on? And then like 9 minutes later, they're like fidgeting.
Which
like,
remote is this?
They're like, is it this channel? I'm like, do you have DirecTV? Just go to 642, bro. It's like, you know what? Hand me the remote, please. Hand me the remote. You could go do your thing. I'll mm-hmm. do my thing. But it's so difficult. Here, they're just like, hey, so if you like women's basketball, we got these six games tonight. We got an NCAA hockey game. It'll be on that screen. They just know everything going on. They've got it all planned out. There's like a DJ booth. They're wired to do some kind of concert with like 2 Chainz. I don't know what's going on in here. It's awesome.
It is the way it should be. To your point, how many I mean, I understand that there's a lot going on. I can't run a restaurant. I can't run a sports bar. I can't do any of these things. I'm very qualified to do this, to be honest with you. But I understand. Like, what they do basically, though, we're doing sports, we just leave it on ESPN. Like, we think we've done that, and that part of it, that somebody comes in and we're like, might want to watch
my
something else.
My job is done.
Yeah, it's like, it's on ESPN, now yeah. I got to cut some limes up for a fancy cocktail. Like, the whole point of the sports bar, to me, is to, yes, eat the food, yes, drink the drinks, but the sport, to have the sport that needs to be on. So
important.
Yeah, and like, the so many different places act like it's the biggest chore. The opposite of this, where they hand you a, what would you like to see? On the big screen in front of your fat face. What about the side screen? What about that side screen? All these TVs are immaculate and enormous. Yeah.
Do you have wings?
Yeah.
Do you have games on TV?
Yes.
Those are my questions.
I love it.
The rest of it is for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
But this is my vibe. This is great. This is a good spot, so come see us. And it's all leading up to these Friday field trip shows we're doing. We didn't really plan it as a pep rally for the best team in the conference, not named the Detroit Lions, but that is how it's materialized.
It's kind of morphed into that.
At this point. They're just turning into these shows where we are giddy about Washington on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, if I can come out of the press box, if I could take off my credentials.
This is very rare.
If I could hang up my dress shirt.
What?
And I could just put on a Johnny Newton's jersey or something.
Okay.
I am so excited for Sunday. I think Sunday's game is probably the matchup I've been most fired up for in years and years, honestly. Because I think what we're going to find out definitively is really twofold. I think we're going to find out how good is the Steelers' defense, first and foremost. The idea is that they're really, really good right now. They are ranked in the top 10 in DVOA. They're ranked in the top 5 in plenty of metrics. But look at who they've played. They played the Falcons when Kirk in week one was coming off the Achilles and never played with that team.
Mm-hmm.
They played Bo Nix in the second game of his career. They did play Herbert in the Chargers in week three, but he was hurt, if you remember. He got hurt in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they even got to play Taylor Heinicke for much of that game, which is, well, I don't need to explain to you guys what that's like. They played the Colts with Anthony Richardson,
yep,
who's dreadful and has already been benched.
That was a close game, field goal game.
They played the Cowboys, who stink out loud. Which is awesome.
No, don't listen. Hey, don't pile on them.
They are so bad.
No, no. Don't be mean to them.
They played a Raiders team that was quarterbacked by Gardner Minshew.
Yep.
Not my dog Fiona, who we call Gardner Minshew, but Gardner Minshew, the quarterback with the mustache.
Mm-hmm.
They played the Jets and Aaron Rodgers. So that was probably the first like viable quarterback they played, but that's a broken Jets offense. And then last week they played, or the last time out, I should say, before their bye, they played Daniel Jones and the Giants. So they have not played an offense like this one. Frankly, there isn't another one in the league necessarily, but they haven't played a quarterback who's operating like Jaden Daniels. They haven't played as explosive or difficult an offense to get off the field. So I do think we're going to find a lot out about the Steelers' defense. And similarly, on the other side, we're going to find plenty out about Washington's offense. There will be nothing else to answer. There will be no more, but what about dot, 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 but can they? Uh-uh, shut up. If they beat the Steelers, that's your signature win.
Yep.
That is your, they came to our place off of a bye. Mike Tomlin is 13-4 off of byes. They've won 7 straight games off of a bye with 2 weeks to prepare. If Washington beats them and offense goes up and down the field against T.J. Watt and this defense, there's nothing else.
Yeah, there's no more qualifiers. There's no more yeah buts.
The only thing I want to hear about is yeah, but which week in the playoffs are you going to hope to have a home game? Like, that's now the conversation.
So before the season started, just looking at it, doing the best you can to prognosticate, I didn't have the Steelers as a postseason team and not having a winning record for the first time since Tomlin ever took over. Because the teeth of their schedule was really after this bye week. I didn't count Washington among that, by the way. But you look at it, it's Baltimore, Cincinnati, Philadelphia, Baltimore again, Kansas City, Cincinnati. Like, that's where I thought they were going to start to struggle a little bit. They've gotten fat and done well against teams that they are better than. And their resume, to be honest with you, is probably pretty similar to Washington's at this point. And that doesn't take anything away. Like, everyone always says, well, you just beat bad teams. Well, yeah. You do that, you go to the postseason. You do that, you win 9-10 games. You beat teams that you're better than. You do that consistently, you get to go, then you go 500 or so against everybody else. That's how you add up the wins. I didn't think they were good enough to do what they've done to this point. They've been pretty darn impressive. To me, where this game is won, lost, is where it's all decided, is Washington's been incredible in this regard. Not only for a rookie quarterback, but for an NFL football team in taking care of the football.
Yeah.
Part of that is, it's obviously a point of emphasis. Part of that is obviously, you know, skill and something that is by design. Another part of that is good fortune. The Steelers defense and this team, they give up more yards maybe than you're used to seeing for a Steelers defense, but they are here to take the football away. That's the story of the game to me. If Washington's good fortune, skill, whatever you want to give credit for it, I'm not taking anything away. If they continue without turning the football over against this group, I love it. Or is this the game where they have to deal with some of that adversity where you know, J.J. Watt gets home or an interception happens or something to that effect?
The Steelers are the best team in terms of defensive line and pass rushing personnel that Washington has played, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
They played the team last week that leads the NFL in sacks and in the Giants, and they didn't sniff the quarterback.
That's right.
They didn't get near Jaden Daniels. And by the way, Washington's offensive front last week was graded out the number one pass protection unit in the NFL in week 9 against the team that was leading the NFL in sacks. This week, you deal with a club that, in my opinion, has the best pass rushing personnel. They're not leading in sacks, but led by T.J. Watt, who is the best defensive player Washington has played. They did have Myles Garrett and the Browns come to town. But if you remember, Myles Garrett didn't practice that whole week.
Yep.
Wasn't quite 100%. And I'm not even sure at 100% that he's definitively better than T.J. Watt, who's a game wrecker. Watt's got 6.5 sacks, but between him, Alex Highsmith on the other side, Cam Hayward's a guy that's an all-pro type and maybe a Hall of Famer when it's all said and done. They have such good pocket-pushing interior linemen, penetration creators, edge rushers that get to the quarterback, that here's your ultimate test. Do they just pin their ears back and try to get to Daniels? You can't really do that with his ability to move around. You've got to be more assignment sound. I remember still from when I was on the beat, and Washington would always struggle with these mobile quarterbacks. And I had a coach at one time tell me, the problem with these QBs that don't allow you to bring them down like everybody else does, is if you rush the same way you do for the immobile quarterback, it's over.
Yep.
So if T.J. Watt just gets up the field, plans on the five-step drop and the sack fumble, Daniels just moves up in the pocket. It's a 20-yard scramble now. So you can't rush that way. You have to rush kind of watching him, looking, staying in your lane. You just can't be the same heat-seeking missile. That's a great benefit to having a guy like Daniels with his mobility. It's why he makes the offensive line and pass protection a little bit easier. But I'm fascinated by that part of this matchup. We did find out today that Marshawn Lattimore is not going to play. He has been ruled out. So it's not a complete Davante Adams hamstring situation. I think we could say
there is something to it. Time zone didn't cure it.
There was some thought that as soon as they acquired him, his hamstring would magically be better, and he would pull the Davante Adams in play. But I don't need him to play in this game. We can get into this in more detail in a couple of minutes. I need him more for Thursday in Philadelphia, which is a more important game overall, as it is anyway. But there's also some breaking news on the Commanders roster and possibly a sign that they might be missing out on a player who's been very good for them. Well, let's get to that right now. And it's on the kicking front, Danny. Austin Seibert has been automatic. Remember, he had been missing practice time this week. The Commanders are signing veteran kicker Zane Gonzalez to the practice squad. Austin Seibert with a hip, limited the last 2 days. There's now uncertainty as to whether or not he's going to kick on Sunday. They're going to continue to monitor him this weekend, maybe on to Sunday morning. But this gives you a chance. I'm sure they'll elevate him from the practice squad just in case. Maybe you dress two kickers if you're not sure as of tomorrow. But Seibert has been nearly flawless. He's had a blocked kick and a kick where he scraped the ground that went wide right. Otherwise, he's tied for the NFL lead and made field goals.
The operation's been good, yeah.
And he didn't even kick in week one. He wasn't even around, and he's still got more field goals made than anybody else.
Because you just don't want to be caught with your pantaloons down here in this case, right?
That would be called a Brian Daboll.
Stole the words out of my mouth. It's otherwise known as the Daboll or the Brian Daboll. So smart by them to do so, but it is a bummer. Just and it's, listen, it always comes down to a score or something close in most NFL games. I mean, I saw a tweet the other day about how unprecedentedly close more games have been this year than have even been in years past, but especially playing a Mike Tomlin coach Pittsburgh Steelers team. I just don't think you blow them out. Maybe you do, and it goes great, but this to me always feels like it's going to come down to something like that, like the field goal kick or making sure the operation is tight on the extra point here, there, and everywhere.
Do you think they plan on like giving Seibert a chance, and then you have Gonzalez up just in case? Or do you think they probably just roll with Gonzalez and tell Seibert to rest up?
Great question. I would guess they're not going to be caught seeing it happen to someone else on the other side, right? Like, well, he heard his thing, and now Tress Way is going to try to kick. Or, Terry McLaurin put foot to ball. I think they're too smart for that to get stuck. So it may cost them. You might have one less roster spot, maybe one less guy to help you on teams, and someone's got to do a bit more. But I don't think they're going to be stuck without a functioning kicker in game, because it's like, it was great in warm-ups, and then his first kickoff, and now he's strained.
I'd just roll with Gonzalez for a week. And if that ends up hurting you, then, bad luck.
Okay.
That stinks. But I'm starting to think bigger picture about this season, if we're being honest. I don't want to use the word house money this week, because as we talked about, there is a lot on the line, and you could really send a big message. But the biggest game they've got this year, as of this moment, is not Sunday. It's Thursday. It's actually 6 days away against the Eagles, where both of the teams fighting for the NFC East are going to be playing in Philadelphia on a short week. So I would tell the kicker who's been nearly automatic, hey, man, if you're 90%, that's cool. I want you 100%. Mm-hmm. We'll see you on Thursday.
Yeah.
We got Zane Gallup.
Sit this one out, get on your foam roller.
But we'll see as we get closer to kickoff what the reports are on his health. But let's talk about Marshawn Lattimore being out next. Also, what excites you the most about this upcoming game? Steelers in town, chance for Washington to send a national message again. We can open up the phone lines for you at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. We're at Sports and Social in Bethesda. We're going to be here until 6:30. Come on out for a Friday field trip on G&D.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? an easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Field Trip Friday on Grant and Danny, live from Sports and Social Bethesda, brought to you by the Tailgate Must-Have Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, Surfside Lemonade and Vodka. Delicious. Darris and I have ours up here right now. Available in convenient variety 8-packs. Each can only has 100 calories. Tailgate like a champ. Ask for it at your local bar and liquor store. Must be 21. All right, so we will get Darris's review in just a few minutes of his delicious Surfside raspberry lemonade and vodka. But we're out and about on a Friday having a good time in Rockville slash
North Bethesda, north of Bethesda.
Bethesda?
It's a part of Bethesda.
Rockville.
It's the northern part.
Northern.
From Bethesda!
Thank you, Ryan.
Northern Rockville.
I was looking for the name of the place. Oh, it's right there. Sports and Social. Right, yeah. In north of Bethesda. North Bethesda.
From Bethesda!
We will be here until 6:30. Charles Davis of CBS going to be on the show at 3 o'clock to break down the Commanders and the Steelers. In that game, Washington will not have Marshon Lattimore. They acquired him at the trade deadline on Tuesday. There was hope that despite having a hamstring injury that kept him out of last week's game for the Saints, he was going to magically heal, leaving the bad team that he was at odds with, coming to the good team that he's happy to be on. But the hamstring's actually legitimately not quite right. It's barking, it seems like. He did not practice again today, and so he will be out. My logic on that is, if they lose to the Steelers, it will not be because they got eaten up by wide receivers. This is not a game to me that will hinge on corner play on the outside necessarily. Marshon Lattimore will help, and in any game, you're better off having better players. But I look at the Steelers' passing game, and even when it's good, it's kind of George Pickens and not a lot else, right? Pickens is the type of guy that Benjamin St. Juste is a more favorable matchup for. And he'll beat St. Juste some. He's a good player. He was, you know, a high draft pick who's become a really nice weapon for them. I don't like St. Juste against Zay Flowers. I don't like St. Juste against the twitchy guy with the wiggle who's, you know, shifty and diminutive. But when he goes up against another big fella that's long and can get his hands on like Pickens, I think that's a much better matchup. So I'm okay with him against Pickens this week, taking your chances with like Calvin Austin, who is that smaller guy who maybe chews them up here or there as a, you know, number two against Sanristil and Igbinoghene. When I really need Lattimore is that Eagles game when you're dealing with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, a wide receiver game, you know, a game where the personnel becomes a lot more problematic for what this defense is built to do right now.
No, I will say passing totals have not been huge, and receiving totals, you know, obviously follow that for Pittsburgh. Because the first six games, it was more the Justin Fields run-and-gun type show, right? Where he's running around, they're making plays, and, you know, the occasional bomb here and there. But for the most part, business has picked up the last couple of weeks. Russell Wilson throwing for over 270 yards per game, and I think some of the stats are going to follow along with that the longer he ends up being a quarterback for this passing game. So I'm a little more worried about it than you are, because I think Pickens has some of that you know, obviously not quite the same caliber player. I'm not putting him in this class, but he's got some of that DeAndre Hopkins game where he's not as fast as you'd think, not as explosive, not like a big bulking Hulk like a Mike Williams or somebody, but he's someone that, you know, runs great routes, is very crisp, has good footwork, toe taps on the sideline. I feel like he's dangerous. And you mentioned Austin kind of running and being a predator underneath, kind of keeping them off balance. So to me, this is a Pittsburgh offense that we're thinking about him through a lens of 75% of their season. I think we need to look at them more what they've been the last couple of weeks, where they've been a bit more prolific throwing the football. So I'm a bit more nervous about that part, I think, than you are.
Well, I'm not pretending like he's not a decent player or that they're not going to make plays through the air. I'm just saying that this type of wide receiver he is what I will take Benjamin St. Juice going up against.
Oh, I agree with that, 100%.
Every
yeah.
single
You're
time.
Right. Yep.
The last 2 weeks, Pickens has gone 5 for 111 on 9 targets against the Jets with a long of 44. And then 4 for 74 against the Giants on 5 targets with a long of 43. So his two longest catches of the season have been in the only two games that Russell Wilson's been working with him, throwing him the football. Part of that is Wilson's deep ball is yeah. special. I mean, that's the one kind of plus trait and attribute that you heard Dan Quinn, who was the coach of Seattle, who talked about knowing Russell Wilson the way that he does, say he still has a really good deep ball. And some of it is if you can get him on a crosser with some ball placement and some accuracy on one of these drags or, you know, routes in the middle of the field, getting up the field, he can run after the catch. We've seen that. He's had, you know, in his career, 60, 70-plus yard touchdowns where it's a catch and a run, and he goes and makes a play. So, yeah, I don't think it's that he's not a good football player as much as Benjamin St. Juste as your corner one, which is the world we've been living in pre-Lattimore and will live in for one more week at least. I would rather go up against a 6'3", 200-pound wide receiver who's built like an SUV than a 5'11", 196-pound number
yeah.
one
no, totally.
Who's built like a, you know, coupe.
Yeah, no Amon-Ra St. Brown's against us. I'm totally with you on that, certainly. I think that makes sense. You know, those kind of guys, the water bugs, will really thrive against the secondary.
Do you agree with my theory, though, and what I'm so excited about, which is I think that more so than even the Bears game, which is the only other time I felt this way, we will absolutely know what this offense is going to be capable of against a playoff caliber, championship-type defense after this game? Or is there still some thought for you that maybe Pittsburgh's defense isn't as good as we think? Because they really haven't been tested either.
No, I think they're good. It's a group with 10 turnovers forced over the last four games. They are it, right? You're adding Preston Smith to that, you know, to that mix now. You didn't get worse in terms of pass rushing to have more guys getting after the quarterback. So this, to me, is you're going to run out of, you know, qualifiers for this offense. I mean, you and I at the Cav, for the most part, but, you know, the occasional tourist fan or somebody that's, you know, not quite sold, that doesn't totally believe and is going, yeah, you beat up on these bad teams, you scored a bunch of points, and, you know, you're going to struggle on this case and this case, whatever. And maybe you do struggle at one point. Doesn't mean this offense isn't really, really good, though. This, to me, removes all of it. Pittsburgh's defense, week in and week out, has been really, really, really strong. Their season-high points allowed is 27 to the Colts in week number four, and they pretty much don't allow 20 points. They've only allowed 20 points or more twice through eight games. You tell me that's not a good defense? I don't care who your opponent is. This is the NFL where they want the scoring. Pittsburgh says, that's adorable. That's what you want. We're not allowing it. They force turnovers. This is a really, really, really solid group. I know they've given up more yards recently than we're used to seeing for them, but to me, this is their biggest test of the year, talking about Washington.
Another thing I'm really excited about this weekend is the home environments have been so much better this year. I was just talking to one of our listeners, Pete, who's been, I think, at all four home games and even made a trip up to the Meadowlands. He's all the way in. He's never seen this team be this good, who's out here watching the So It's Sports and Social today. But the environment's been so much better as the season's gone on, and it's matchup-dependent and fan-base-dependent probably to some extent. This won't be linear. But I do think that the number of visiting fans is dissipating mm-hmm. as there's more demand in town to go to these games, and there are more people wearing burgundy and gold and showing up that are fans of this team. This is the ultimate litmus test there.
This is that, yep.
And it might not even be fair to suggest that there shouldn't be or won't be a takeover, because that probably happened before the season started. Mm-hmm. I think Steelers fans, you know, the assumption
is they see it on the calendar. They already bought it.
Well, exactly. And I think people assume Steelers fans travel better than other fan bases, which I'm not sure is completely the case.
I mean, some do, but they're Pittsburgh fans everywhere. Like, they're Red Sox fans everywhere.
Exactly.
Like, they're bandwagon Yankee fans everywhere.
They live here.
Like Ryan.
They live all over the country. And my uncle was actually part of a special they did on this many years ago on NFL Network. He was a media personality in Pittsburgh for a long time. And when the steel mill shut down, I believe it was in the 70s, people that lived in Pittsburgh and worked in those mills and that surrounding area had to go find work. Mm-hmm. And so they went all over the country to do so. And those folks that loved the Steelers took their terrible towel and packed it with their clothes and went wherever they went. and now have families and grandkids, and you still love your Pittsburgh teams. And so they quite literally live all over the country. So they will be there. There's no doubt about that. I don't know that they travel better than everyone else, but they do show up at your stadium more than everybody else.
People just use travel as shorthand for they're always Pittsburgh fans at road games.
And there's going to be.
You know, yeah, that's the thing.
Commander's going to try to combat that like they did many years ago with the burgundy towels that they're passing
out. Love that.
Out.
Good job, ownership group.
Yeah, I think that's a cool idea. They did that when they lost in week one back in 2016 as well. And it ends up being a nice way to kind of get a gauge on the Commanders fans pushing back and trying to make sure that they aren't overtaken in their own stadium. But we'll be covering this tilt with Pittsburgh all day long on Grant and Danny. It's going to be quite a game this Sunday over in Landover, Maryland. Charles Davis has more on this coming up at the top of the hour at 3 o'clock. He and I and Eagle will be on the call of the game at 1 o'clock on CBS. But next on G&D from Sports and Social Bethesda, where we are out and about today for a Friday field trip, let's look at the rest of the division going into the weekend. The Giants have a morning game in Germany. The Eagles are playing the Cowboys without Dak Prescott. Philadelphia's nipping at the heels of Washington. You're listening to The Fan. Sports and Social Bethesda, the site of Grant and Danny on this Friday. It's a field trip. We are out and about, hanging out with listeners today. Stop by, say hello, come get some food and drink, and enjoy yourselves. We are sponsored throughout the day. You like that ovation?
I was surprised. Usually we have to, like, beg for the ovation from the studio audience.
Normally,
we do the show
Daris writes on a sign and, like, tells them, hey, if you don't, we'll eat your
applause,
wings.
Applause, you know?
But this afternoon broadcast is brought to you by the Tailgate Must-Have Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka. Can we punch up Daris's microphone, actually, please? Because I would like to get the live sample from you. You've already pummeled yours. You're doing
halfway,
all right.
How was it?
Halfway through, strawberry lemonade and vodka. I got to say, this is refreshing.
It's delicious?
It's really delicious. I'm surprised. I was not ready for the good deliciousness that's coming from this.
So my buddy who lives in Bethesda, and it's actually Bethesda. It's not north of Bethesda.
From Bethesda!
Or Bethesda Jason or
it's
Rock Vegas,
Bethesda.
Whatever. He lives in Bethesda. Mm-hmm. He's a golfer. He loves golf. He plays golf all the time. He pummels these. Like, this is his go-to move out on the golf course.
Oh, this is the golf play.
Because it's like you're hydrating, right? You get your squirt bottle of water.
Yeah.
But he's like, you can't – it's not heavy like beer. It's got a little flavor to it. It's refreshing. And he's out there still, you know, hacking and whacking, trying to shoot 80.
So when we went, you know, I don't golf very often.
Right.
But when you do. I do a golf tournament every year for my buddy Jermon Bushrod back in Fredericksburg. He's a King George native like myself. He played for the New Orleans Saints and a longtime buddy of mine. And I play in his tournament every year. And so this past year, same thing.
Yeah.
I got in the golf cart. We were going around. And someone's like, oh, check these out. Started tossing me a couple of these surf sides. Next thing you know, three, four. I mean, it's just delicious. Yep. All day long, that's the drink. It's smooth. It's perfect. So we appreciate them being part of this day today. Tailgate like a champ. Ask for it at your local bar and liquor store. Must be 21. Grant and Danny going to be here until 6:30 today on The Fan. Quick peek around the division. The Giants have a morning game. Now, you guys know this about Danny. He is very correct about a lot of things. His worst take is his hatred of breakfast football. He doesn't properly understand how great a 9 a.m. NFL game is.
Right. I have to put my arm down. That was just flipping off the entire West Coast. Anyway, 9 a.m. football shouldn't happen. They should go back to the regular windows, more primetime games. Instead of 9 a.m. on a Sunday, let's do a Saturday night. Let's do Wednesday. Let's do Friday. All these other things are so much better than a fight with your wife when the kids have activities on a Sunday morning. It's morally wrong. They're robbing people of home games to go to these stupid international cities. Stop doing this altogether. 1-4-8 Monday. That's the best. You're going, we have a great formula. Let's mess it up. Thank goodness. And it's always on a weird website. It's always on some sort of thing.
It's never on a weird website.
It has been many times. I had to go to Yahoo on
never
my
once.
And try to 100% once. Everything I'm saying is correct. I had to go to yahoo.org, then like cast it to my television, like commercials
so
crackled, and it was delays, and I missed stuff.
Millions of people found it out.
It's always a bad call. Yeah, but you know, but not the millions of people west of here.
So this is how they screwed it up, by the way.
Yep.
By instead of giving you 12 hours of football on a Sunday, saying, we see your 12 hours. We know you like 12 hours of football. What if we gave you 15 hours? What if we just started that little day of sitting on your fat ass instead of at noon at 9:30 in the morning? That's how they screwed it up so badly. That's the terrible thing they did was say, you ever eaten an egg sandwich with bacon and cheese? You ever done that while you watched Justin Jefferson go for 96 and two touchdowns? That was the crime that the National Football League committed. Now, speaking of crimes, they are exporting the Giants and the Panthers to Germany. I don't know if you heard about this. This is the game this weekend in Germany.
Well, this is all the buzz in Germany. We're very excited to see two terrible teams headbutt each other for so many minutes. What is your phrase? Hot garbage? You say this dog water about these people? These are terrible teams. They're not Giants at all. And these Panthers are very, very tame cats. They're not really Panthers.
Two and seven Giants.
Yeah.
And the 2-7 Panthers.
That's a combined four wins. That's very low.
I mean, if you are in Germany, you're jacked up to get the NFL. But then you find out it's this game, you got to be like, do I really want to spend all my money to go to that?
Yeah, it'll probably be second screen for a lot of us. Bundesliga kicks off later in the morning, so. And I have some Wiener Schnitzel to eat.
Who does Dieter think's going to win the game? Is it a Giants or Panthers victory he's expecting?
Well, this is a great question. The matchup is going to come down to uniform aesthetic for me. And I like the way that the Giants' uniforms are very blue. They're like, hello, I am blue. Hello, greetings, salutations, blue person. And then the Panthers are like some blue. Hello, knock, knock, who's there? A little bit of blue. So to me, the more blue team is going to beat the slightly blue team.
NFC East, bottom feeder, New York.
But they both blow. Do you get it? That's a reference. Right,
absolutely. Yeah. 2-7 and the Carolina Panthers, 2-7. And then you've got the other matchup in the NFC East, both teams in action, Eagles, Cowboys. Philly trying to get to 7-2. They will play Dallas without Dak Prescott. Mm-hmm. This is a Cooper Rush start. The Cowboys at home are 7.5-point dogs. With Dak Prescott, they're bad.
They're probably 5.5-point dogs in that game, right?
What are they without Dak Prescott? Yeah. Really, really bad? You had two reallys, or is it three? This is a game if you're Philly. Sorry about it, but there are no excuses.
Mm-hmm.
There are no ifs, ands, or buts. I know you're on the road. That doesn't mean anything because Dallas at home is worse than Dallas on the road anyway. The Eagles have won four straight out of their bye week. Squeaker over the Browns, dominated the Giants, beat up on the Bengals, and then barely survived the Jaguars. You got to handle your business against Dallas because that sets up a division-leading game with Washington.
That's right.
Either way, on Thursday this coming week.
Yeah, win or lose for Washington, certainly it will. But, yeah, I mean, for this one, I know this is probably nuts, but I would rather from Philly have this game in Dallas right now because the way things are trending, it's like everything's compounding. Everything's worse. The first incomplete pass, you know those dumb Cowboy fans are going to start booing, and then everything gets tighter, et cetera. I'd almost rather play this one there. Who knows how it's going to be later in the year, but right now with all the bad momentum and bad energy, I would love to go down there and kick their butts.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. We're giving away Iron Maiden tickets today, as we've been doing all week, right at 4 o'clock. Make sure you got your dialing fingers ready at 4 ahead of the Beltway Blitz. Max Starks, who's a longtime Pittsburgh Steeler, will join us to scout the opponent at 5. But next, Charles Davis, who's on the broadcast with Ian Eagle on CBS, one of our favorite NFL guests, going to join us to preview the Commanders and the Steelers on Grant and Danny. We are live at Sports and Social Bethesda. Come on out and hang with us. We're here until 6:30.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.